Expedia and Visit Scotland invite you to come experience the beauty that awaits in Scotland. The sweep of wild coastlines, quiet lochs and untamed landscapes. Fresh cuisine that feels rooted in the land. Come experience the kind of stillness that stays with you long after you leave. Plan your Scottish escape today at expedia.com/visitscotland.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
Yes, I know the summer's glow is promised.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with jazz singer, songwriter, charismatic entertainer, and actress Rachel Sutton. We get into the release of her new 2026 album called Realms, her life in jazz and world of acting. Her emotive and uplifting performances are always filled with theatrical skill, humor, and heartfelt expression. She has enchanted audiences at leading venues and festivals across the UK and abroad. This new project captures the magic of Rachel and her band's live show while adding many subtle nuances and impressive techniques as a part of the recording process. Along with the jazz, she has landed her roles in award-winning shows at the Edinburgh and New York Fringe Festivals. Her theatrical training is at the core of every song, and her charming flair and easy rapport with the audiences gain her a first-class reputation across both theater and music. It's a story you need to hear. Enjoy this interview. Well, let's get into happy stuff. Let's get into music. Let's get into art. Let's get into the creative ventures of human beings. So let's dive in. It's great to meet you. Thank you for taking a minute out today.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Joe.
Absolutely. So let's begin. Before we get into Realms, I want to know this. Six years ago, this pandemic was changing our lives, changing the way musicians approach things. Mm-hmm. How did you get through that COVID era, and how has it influenced the way that you create and live today?
Oh my goodness, that is such a good question. How did I get through that era? Well, it was bloody tough. It was hard. It was hard for lots of people, you know, harder for some than others. I mean, my album, A Million Conversations, came out a month before lockdown. So that was really, really tough because all my gigs and the little sort of tours and things that I'd worked so hard for just completely collapsed. Everything closed. We were at home. I was still working as much as I could from home, but my daughter was young. She was only five. She just started school. So I was homeschooling her. So just at that point, as a mother and as a creative, artistic person who wanted to kind of get back into, you know, working full time, she had gone off to primary school, started, and suddenly all of that stopped. So I went back. It was like regressing, really. I went back. And so a lot of my creativity during that time paused, really. Even though I had this, you know, album that I was really proud of. And in terms of, you know, how it's affected me and how it's affected the way I work. I mean, so much of everything is online now. And I think because of COVID, it's become more and more so.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of venues have suffered so irreversibly because of it. And the way that we exist far more online because we had to in COVID, it's like become part of our psyche, this constant being online all the time. Even the fact that we're doing this now, you know, a few years ago, we wouldn't have been able to do it.
But
I do think that there is something else that has, I'm only thinking about this now as we're talking about it, has come to the fore, is the being at home, the understanding of actually being at home and being with family and being cozy and being together and being sort of quiet, even if that potentially sort of tips over into something a little bit too, you're stuck, you're not doing enough because it's important to get out. But there is that sort of quiet time now that I think I appreciate being more still, which I think COVID in a bizarre way sort of slightly trained us to do a little bit more, is the kind of stillness, the being together, the sort of quiet time, the reflective time. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So, and that can feed into your work as well. I'm not saying it's a good thing. Obviously it was a terrible, terrible thing, COVID. It was absolutely dreadful. I'm just thinking about the sort of knock-on effects of certain things. There's always a sort of yin and yang kind of situation, yeah, isn't there? You know, we lose some things, we gain others. But I think the sort of, you know, my husband and I used to sort of tag team looking after our daughter, and there's sort of those quiet moments where sort of contemplating, thinking about work, being very still, not being able to go anywhere. Sometimes you can learn quite a lot in those very quiet, still moments when you are in a place and there is nowhere else that you can go. And this kind of focus happens to you, which certainly when you're working towards something is important. Very long answer to your question.
No, I like it. And sometimes it's something that people don't think about a lot. So you start kind of collecting these things and new revelations come in. But I think the true genius in this like concept of being on this planet is Mother Nature. And Mother Nature actually had a minute to kind of unclog. Like Beijing skies got clean, the Venice Canal cleared up, yes, all of these levels of smog. I know there were cities, LA and Albuquerque and some other places that totally cleaned up. I mean, I used to see, there was a rural road that I worked on, that I still work on, that I went down. One day I saw a dog chasing a deer. You never would have seen that. Like the earth slowed down enough where the dogs were finally, yeah, like, wait, what are these animals that are finally coming out because all the humans are quiet? It was like there was this kind of domino effect of the hierarchy of nature that became egalitarianism for 1 minute. And everybody, yeah, just was together, yeah, in a Walt Disney movie. You know?
And that was an amazing thing, that nature sort of came back. I mean, yeah, there was one beautiful, glorious moment where a woodpecker flew into our London garden.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary. There, yeah, were no planes in the skies. You know, nature got a break. It needed it. Let's face it, it needs it. It permanently needs it, let's be honest. And I do think, you know, one of the themes of Realms is nature.
Yeah.
So definitely, maybe subconsciously, some of that kind of got put into the new album. But yeah, the fact that nature had a break and continues desperately to need a break, it was extraordinary, some of the things that we saw. Really, yeah, incredible, unusual. Absolutely. And things that you wouldn't expect to see,
yeah,
particularly living in a city.
Yeah, for sure. So let's, yeah, jump off that high dive board into the water with Realms. Let's, yeah, get fully into it. Besides nature, what was kind of the overarching artistic idea, and how does it feel on a visceral level to have this out in the world?
Well, it's a wonderful feeling, and I've been getting some great feedback, some lovely reviews, some beautiful comments from people who've bought the album, downloaded it, streamed it. And that is an amazing feeling. And within me, I feel a release. Sorry if that's a bit of a play on words, but I do feel the album is released and I'm released. I do feel a great sense of release that all these songs that were swimming around in my head for so long finally came out. And I think in terms of the creation of it, I had been wanting to do another album for a few years, and people had been asking me about it. And I was like, yeah, it's coming. I've got this song here and that song's half finished over there. And this one's kind of, oh, I'm kind of creating something over here. And I had a whole sort of host of, you know, some finished and unfinished and some kind of still in my imagination. And I sat down one day and I said, right, this is the time. Now is the time. I've got this bunch of songs I need to finish. This one needs a middle eight. This one needs that. This one needs this. And I sat down at the piano for several weeks, and I just tailored, tweaked, finished everything off, practiced it, rehearsed it, tweaked it some more, rewrote little bits here and there. Some of the songs came really, really quickly. Some of them took ages and ages. There's always a song that drives you absolutely flipping crazy. You just can't quite finish. You know, there were one or two maybe a bit like that. But I just knew that I had another album in me. I know that right now I've got another album again that's going to have to come out. But I had a particular collection of songs that were very eclectic. I thought, goodness knows how this is all going to fit together, because they are very different from one another. But I like that. That's the way I work. I don't know how to write any other way.
You can't reason with the sun. Trust us, we've tried. This summer, it's time to put that angry ball of fire on mute. Columbia's OmniShade technology is engineered to protect you from the sun's harsh rays that can burn and damage your skin. The sun is relentless, but so is our gear. Level up your summer at Columbia.com to spend more time outside and less time slathering on aloe lotion. You're welcome. Columbia, engineered for whatever.
But eclectically, I am jazz influenced, but what is in me just naturally comes out, whatever that may be. That was what happened. And I knew I wanted to dedicate it to my daughter. So I knew that there were going to be lots of themes to do with nature and love. She's a real country girl, really, even though we're living in a city. A lot of that influenced my love for her and her love of the country side and sort of other elements, friendships, relationships, the past, you know, other people's worlds all came into to one to create Realm. So there we are.
So I'm always curious when you get on this blitz of talking to the media and the press about albums. You've made it, you've refined, you spent hours on one song, if not the whole project, and then you release, and then you talk about it. I wonder, is it nostalgic to go back to that chamber in your head? Because you've already moved on to the next thing. You're really looking in the rearview mirror right now. How nostalgic is it to revisit this? What does that mean to step back? Because you're already looking forward in the most existential way.
I suppose being a very nostalgic person, it suits me very well.
Yeah.
So I'm very comfortable going back into the past. I mean, I live in the past. I quite happily live in the past, probably to my detriment.
Right.
I mean, I always thought I was from another time anyway. But yeah. I mean, ever since I was a child, I was convinced I was meant from, you know, many, many years before, decades, you know, another era. So I'm very happy reflecting. I'm very happy going back and being nostalgic and thinking about it. And actually sometimes, and I was talking about this on a gig the other day, sometimes you write a song and you don't always realize what it's about until you're halfway through writing it, or even until it's written, until it's done.
Yeah.
And sometimes I go back and I think about a particular song and I think, yeah, actually, maybe there's something of that part of my past in that song. Or maybe when I had that experience, that influenced that little section of that song. Or, you know, so I'm really happy, you know, going back and analysing. And obviously, as I continue to perform the material quite extensively, more comes out, you know. I might even decide at some point to kind of one or two of the words I might sort of change slightly for a live performance, or I might sing a section slightly differently or put in a different rhythm for one particular bit, you know, very subtle little things. But the more you perform, the more you discover about your material.
Yeah.
It's so important to do that, because you're bringing something fresh, and you should do every time you perform any song, whether it's your own or someone else's. So I think I've slightly gone off on a tangent there.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I'm going to hop back on that nostalgic tram to the past. Let's go all the way back. How did this love of music, singing, songwriting, jazz, this career in music, how did it begin? How did it become your destiny?
Well, I had a mother who was crazy about jazz. And she had all these old records in our house, and she was an antique dealer, and she used to go off and do these fairs sort of all day. And when I was a teenager, you know, I was grown up enough to be left alone to my own devices, and I would close all the curtains. It didn't matter winter, spring, summer, whatever it was, I'd close all the curtains and I'd put these records on, and I'd just lie on the sofa and dream or dance, depending on who was on. And I used to pretend that I was singing in a jazz club, or that I was a dancer, or that, you know, I was a musician. I played an instrument of some kind, maybe the piano. And so that really accessed my imagination and kept that going. And I always knew from a very young age that I wanted to be a performer. And I went down the acting path. So that's what I went down first. And then I got into singing. I was in a theatre company, and one of my colleagues' flatmates or something, he was in a band and his singer had gone away, and they didn't have anybody. So I stepped in. And I got the bug, I got hooked, and I loved it. And then I started singing more. And then I kind of got an acting job, and then I started acting again, and the singing sort of took a back seat. But eventually, through sort of circumstance and coincidence.
Folks knew the Colonel approved of his new honey chili crisp and jalapeno ranch sauces the moment he tasted them and said, "That's right, no notes. Just absolute silence." Turns out some flavors don't need explaining. They just need dipping. It's saucy season at KFC. With new honey chili crisp and jalapeno ranch, get dipping with a boneless bucket today.
Prices and participation vary.
I ended up getting more into singing, and that's where it kind of, it took off for me. And then I started writing my own material, and that became my big passion, and it continues to be so. But I always knew that I was going to be a performer, always, of some kind or another.
So I'm curious, in the very beginning, what was the first live jazz show you saw that blew you away, that got stuck in your brain?
The first live jazz show.
Either the first one or the one that was seminal, that like maybe made you want to do it or informed the way that you approach the stage in some subconscious, profound way.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I think, to be honest, because when I started performing, I never had much money, I would go to jazz jams more than anything else and be interested in people, sort of different people, different voices, the way that they would approach music. And I would see some that were very sort of nervous and shy, and then I would see some that are very, you know, that were very, very open and incredibly confident. But I can tell you about two shows that I saw. There was one I saw. So Sarah Jane Morris, who I love, she's actually become a friend, which I'm very glad to say. I must have been in my early 20s when I saw her, and I was acting at the time. And I remember thinking about the idea of freedom on stage. So I used to do a lot of experimental theatre, and that way of being totally free and letting go of your vanity and just filling the space with the power that you have as a performer and giving that over, not worrying about, you know, obviously wanting to entertain, but that kind of authentic self, that genuinely authentic, unique thing that we all have, where you are offering that as a gift to your audience. And that is definitely something that Sarah Jane Morris has. And I remember as, I was in my early 20s, and I remember going to see her, and she was so extraordinarily free and so confident and so at home within herself that I thought, I was blown away by it. I couldn't stop watching her. I must send her this this interview, actually. I hope she likes it. She likes the fact that I mentioned it to her. So that's Sarah Jane Morris. I love her freedom. And freedom when performing is something that's very important to me.
Yeah.
And it really kind of, I felt quite inspired to take the freedom that I'd learned as an actor into my life as a singer. And another gig that I saw once, a jazz gig. I mean, I've seen many gigs, but if we're being really specific and talking about jazz, Kurt Elling, I saw a gig with him at the South Bank that I've never forgotten. It was extraordinary. He must have been on that stage for 2.5 hours. He didn't drink one drop of water in the whole time that he was there.
Wow.
He was so complete, which I find extraordinary as a singer, because you're thinking, well, you need to kind of stay hydrated. I certainly have water on stage with me. He was so contained and in his world. It was almost like a meditation. It was almost like he was meditating when he was performing. He was so thorough, and so he wasn't distracted by anything, and he was absolutely present, 100% present. It was a really fascinating experience. It wasn't that he was just vocally extraordinary. Every move he did, every single thing that he said, the way that he inhabited the stage, it was almost like he was molded into it, and he needed nothing else. No props, no glasses of water, nobody handing in the microphone, nothing. He was just present, totally there in his world. And I found that really hugely admirable and inspiring. And
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With a message for everyone paying big wireless way too much. Please, for the love of everything good in this world, stop. With Mint, you can get premium wireless for just $15 a month. Of course, if you enjoy overpaying, no judgments, but that's weird. Okay, one judgment. Anyway, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, I thought it was an extraordinary way to just be on stage.
Yeah. So what do you look forward to every day you wake up as a creative, as an actress, as a singer, as a songwriter? What is it that's the best part of living this life?
Well, it certainly isn't going on social media every 5 seconds. It's like, look at me, 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 love me, love me, love me, love me.
More, more, more.
Yeah, more, 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 more. That for me, I've got used to it now. I've got used to it, but it took me a long time to get used to it, and that was hard. But for me, it's the minute I get that hook. I think, I've got a hook, I've got something, I've got something, I've got a hook. And it's going to be great. And I'm on the edge of a new song. And I'm going to sit down at the piano tomorrow. And I'm just going to take as long as I need to get that song out. Maybe it'll come quickly, maybe it won't. But that is, songwriting for me is so incredibly exciting. I mean, any kind of creative work, it could be anything, but songwriting has become my absolute joy and passion, and I can't imagine never not doing it. I mean, when I write, like at the moment, I was sitting at the piano the other day, and it was a really sunny day, and I just had the doors open. I could hear the birds, and there's music in nature. You know, the birds are singing, and I'm there sitting at the piano, and the sun's streaming in, and I'm well fed and watered. I've got a nice home. I'm safe. I feel so incredibly lucky and privileged to be in that position, you know, and I'm sitting at the piano, and I'm tinkering, working out the chords, working out what I'm going to do, and making my art, and surrounded by lovely things, and I just feel incredibly privileged to have that, and also to work with such amazing musicians. You know, when you write new music, and then you say to your band, "Hey, I've got a new song, let's try it," and then they try it. And then they do something amazing with it. They say, "Should we try this bit?" And they do it. And you're like, "Oh my God, I'm melting." It just feels incredible. Or when someone else sings it. I actually had somebody the other day send me a recording of them singing The Jester and the Jewel. They were playing it on the piano and singing it. That was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was really, it was just wonderful. So any, you know, the creative process, I mean, I look forward to every day the possibility of, you know, getting that hook, sitting down at the piano, starting to write on something, or even the creative process of, you know, the putting the artwork together for my album was just such a joy. It was, I had it in my head. I had it in my mind, my imagination for months, and then to see it come to fruition and to see it, you know, exactly as I wanted it, and to be part of that, even though I'm not an artist, but I could see it. I could really visualize it. And I work with people who could make that happen. And that was just, yeah, there's so much creativity into putting an album together. It's incredible. And so much scope for you as an artistic person to kind of delve into other creative elements,
yeah,
other than music. Which is a real pleasure.
For sure. So, Rachel, everyone has a perception of you. Family, friends, fans, yeah, colleagues, business people, everyone in all these bubbles. But you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Oh, what a question, Joe.
This is the therapeutic part of the interview.
Okay, right. We're going Freud or Jung. I'm not sure. Okay. So, what's my perception of me? Wow. Okay. You're going to have to be quite careful.
Yeah, we don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to...
My perception of me. Okay. So, I'll tell you what I feel I'm like as a person. I'm very, very sensitive. But I've got a very, very strong side to me. I am incredibly strong. I'm also incredibly sensitive. So it's a conflict. I feel pain very easily. I feel the pain of other people very easily. And I'm actually very glad that I do. I'm very glad that I do. And particularly the world at the moment, I'm really, you know, my pain is nothing compared to other people's, but I'm really feeling for an awful lot of people right now all over the world. So I'm very sensitive. I think it's a good thing. I'm glad that I am. It feeds my work enormously. I'm very, very strong. I can be quite tough when I need to be. And I think that's something that I've developed over time. Not tough in an unkind or unpleasant way, but when I have to be strong, I'm really, really strong. And that's something that has come over a long period of time. And even I would say probably because of my age, you know, I'm 49, nearly 50. That's increasing. That's something that happens naturally, I think, as you get older, you do tend to get stronger.
Yeah.
And more boundaried. I'm a creative person. I see creativity and beauty in nature, in people, in family, in relationships, in nuance. I like to think, and I hope I am, and I always try to be kind. I want to give as much as I can to people. I love people. I really genuinely love people. I love being around people, not all the time, but I genuinely love being around people. I love my friends and I love my family. I'm also increasingly private and quite private. I like to have a lot of time on my own. And that's something that I think has changed definitely as I'm getting older. I feel like I want to have more time on my own to myself. And I'm interested in lots of different things. I'm interested in different topics, subjects. I like to think that I have empathy. I hope I do. And I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and I'm also a bit of a pain in the backside sometimes. I can be a bit impatient, irritable, short-tempered, snappy. Who can't be?
Right.
But I always say I'm sorry, and I always do my best to make up for it. But I try to live my life with a lot of love,
yeah,
and gentleness and kindness, and I try to be a decent human being, and I think I am. I hope I am. Somebody else out there might say, "No, you're not," but I hope not. I hope not, and I hope that's reflected. I hope it's reflected in the album,
yeah,
that there's that. You know, the empathy and the emotional intelligence, I hope, is reflected in my album. I'm really aware that I'm going to stop talking now because I don't want to kind of come across as if I love myself.
Right. No, you're good. So Realms is the new album, and it will be a more expansive look into your world. Is Bandcamp the best place to pick it up? I know it will be streaming, but
yeah,
buy a copy.
Yeah. So in terms of buying copies, 33jazz.com. So 33jazz, run by the brilliant Paul Jolly, amazing man. He's been doing this for so long. He's helped so many independent artists. That is his record label, and you can buy a copy online there. Okay. You can also buy a copy on Bandcamp, and you can download from Bandcamp, which is really important, sure, because the artist gets the money.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's why I always like to push Bandcamp. So yeah. I will put all of these links in the show notes. Rachel, it was so great to meet you. Thank you so much for taking a minute out. Best of luck on the release. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Really appreciate you having me. Thanks so much. Really nice. Great questions.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in the UK, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Rachel for her time and story. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.